All right, good morning, golfers. Welcome to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Thank you for joining us on this October 21st, 2017. A little chilly this morning, maybe not quite a frost delay, but a little chilly. Glad to have in studio my man, Steve Goldman. How are we doing, Steve?
My pleasure to be here. A little not in 100% voice, but we'll power through it for the next half hour.
You know, some heroes sit behind microphones, my friend.
Yeah, we're just doing my part to make sure that the ship runs straight.
What do you got in the news this week?
Well, we got some international news. Dateline Lima, Peru, the PGA Tour Latino America. They're playing the Lexus Peru Open. And as you know, any chance we get to throw in the 2013 Walker Cup that was held at National Golf Links
of America.
So Michael Weaver, he played on the 2013 Walker Cup, teammate of Justin Thomas and Patrick Rogers, who are both playing in Korea this week. He's tied for fourth right now, two shots out of the lead. He was the 2012 runner-up in the U.S. Amateur to Stephen Fox. But that's not why we bring up the Peru Open.
Do enlighten.
Oh, yes. So Jorge Fernandez Valdez, I'm sure you've heard of him. He's number 835 in the official world golf ranking. So flashback to his first round on Thursday. He makes 8 birdies in his first 9 holes and shoots 28. So now all of a sudden we're on 59 watch, 58 watch. You know, he's rolling along.
Right.
Well, unfortunately, not so fast. He doesn't make a birdie for the rest of the round. As a matter of fact, he bogeys 15, 17, and a quadruple bogey snowman on 18 to shoot 42 on the back. Can you imagine?
Wow.
28, 42 to shoot 70.
Wow.
And that's not even the bizarre story of the event. The Lexus Peru Open has now been shortened to a 54-hole event.
Okay.
Is it weather, you might ask? No, sir. On Sunday, it is the 10-year census in the country of Peru. And by law, everyone in the country, and that means everyone in the country, must stay inside from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. to participate in the census. So they had no choice but to cancel the last round of the golf tournament. So today will be the final round in Peru. Unbelievable.
We got some counting to do.
I'm telling you. got to figure out who's who and what's what. All right, Dateline Korea. No, not that tournament yet. The Korean LPGA, they're playing the KB Financial Star Championship. Unfortunately, with the golf course, the players had some difficulty trying to determine where the green was and where the fringe was, and two players actually lifted their ball and marked when they thought they were on the green when they're actually on the fringe, and they got penalized 2 strokes, which, you know, okay, fine. You know, it's a rules thing. You know, we've been talking about rules things, you know, for quite a while.
Sure.
Well, unfortunately, the tour finds out that 4 other players who had already signed their cards did the same thing. So now they don't know what to do. So they decided that they're going to rescind the 2-stroke penalties on the other 2 players.
Okay.
Well, that got the players all upset. The players actually had a meeting after the round on Thursday, and players were threatening to withdraw from the event.
Oh, boy.
On both sides. They couldn't decide whether they wanted to have the penalties reinstated or they wanted the penalties rescinded.
Right.
They couldn't come up to a consensus themselves. So what did the tour decide to do? We're just going to forget Thursday ever happened. So the first round doesn't even exist.
So another shortened event.
Another shortened event. Exactly. All right, and finally we go. We stay in Korea. Of course, the PGA Tour, CJ Cup at 9 Bridges, a brand new event. Of course, preparing for next week's WGC, the HSBC Champions in China.
Yep.
Of course, familiar names at the top: Justin Thomas and Scott Brown are 9 under through 3 rounds. Of course, Korea's 13 hours ahead of us, so it's actually later tonight will be the 4th round. You've got Anirban, Lahiri, and Mark Leishman are 2 shots back, but that's not the story of the event. Soon you'll know. Korean golfer, accomplished player. Unfortunately, he's 11 shots back going into the final round. He's T34.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't even scheduled to play in the event. The only reason why he's in the event is he got a special invitation from the tournament because Ernie Els withdrew for the flu, and he doesn't have a caddy, so he's got his dad caddying this week.
Fantastic.
And that's not even the story. As Soon You'll Know announced this week that he is going to do his 2-year mandatory military service that's required for all Korean males, mm-hmm. a la Sangmun Bae, who just came back.
Yep.
So he is going to take his major mandatory obligation extension, which will extend him through the 2019-20 season. So when he comes back in 2 years, he will have to earn enough FedEx Cup points to that would have qualified him for the 125
right.
in order to keep his status. So Sun Yul-no will be out of action for the next 2 weeks.
So that's all the news that was worth bringing up, and certainly nothing short of interesting. But I want to take a short break because when we're back, we're going to be talking with Rockville Links Superintendent Luke Knutson. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
The Long Island Golf Association is a nonprofit organization of 81 private and public clubs. The LIGA conducts 15 championships annually and works closely with the Long Island Caddy Scholarship Fund. The scholarships are granted to young men and women who are employed at member clubs. For more information on how you can participate in a championship, or if you'd like to donate your time as a volunteer, please call the LIGA at 516-746-1015. That's 516-746-1015, or visit us at www.longislandgolf.org.
Play like a pro with a custom set of PXG clubs in your bag. Designed to deliver unrivaled performance and fitted to optimize your game, PXG clubs will help you unlock your true potential. We guarantee you've never played like this before. Get fitted for PXG clubs at Pete's Golf Shop today.
Pleased to be joined on the line by Rockville Links Superintendent Luke Knutson. Luke, how you doing today?
I'm great, Anthony. How you doing today?
Great to have you on. Want to start with Rockville Links and its sort of restoration, if you will. Devereaux Emmett obviously has put more than his fingerprint on Long Island. You know, when did this process start? You know, how much was left? Sort of take us through the process.
The process actually started, they wanted to go back to the original Devereaux Emmett design right before I ended up going to Rockville Links. And we've been kind of picking away, doing a few holes at a time. We've done, we did 3 holes 4 years ago, 3 holes last year, and this year we're slated to do 5 more holes. So that'll leave us 5 more to do next fall. So almost there, getting close.
Luke, what is entailed in trying to do the restoration? I mean, how much of a change has to happen? I mean, obviously it's hole by hole, but, you know, obviously reconfiguring a golf course is quite an undertaking.
Yeah, for the most part, you know, greens are in the same location. They just kind of shrunk over time. But we're working with, you know, we have a 1938 overhead and a few from the 1950s. The 1938 is very important because it's prior to World War II. A lot of these classics lost some bunkering and everything during that time. There wasn't really anybody keeping up the courses to the same level that they were. There wasn't the workforce or, you know, the people around playing golf or people around the work and maintain them. So we're working off the old overheads and finding stuff that was lost from that era. And also, you know, the course at one point, you know, in the 80s, 90s, 2000s, you know, it was trying to modernize golf, you know, and, you know, tiger proofing became a big thing, you know, add yardage, you know, tighten up everything, build some mounds around the course, and it kind of lost its, you know, original intrigue and original Emmett design. So we've been working off that and just trying to get back to the original and restore what they had, which Rockville Links is very unique. Emmett is kind of late in his career, so, you know, looking forward to keep going and keep restoring this and everything that we find.
It's amazing to me how much the war has disrupted or maybe stunted the progress of classic golf courses into the 70s and the 80s and 90s to this point. It's just amazing. Like, I remember at Bethpage Black, basically what they did was they just they even just stopped mowing the green for the most part, and, you know, they obviously stopped taking care of the golf course, and then they just, when they were going to open up golf again, they just mowed a circle basically where the greens were. It had nothing to do with those tremendously vast and undulating greens that Tilly had put there originally. The war really did much to interrupt classic Gothic architecture.
Yeah, no, they lost a lot of that in the wars, and then irrigation, when that first came out, it helped make those greens on a circle platform instead of, you know, kind of the rectangles they were originally built on, because there's only one head kind of center of the green, the old impact snap head that nobody now remembers.
our guest is Luke Knutson, the superintendent of Rockville Links Golf Club. Luke, was this basically the impetus of the membership? Is this something that they wanted to have happen, that they wanted to see the golf course restore itself back to the original?
Yeah, absolutely. The membership made that decision, and then early last year, they made the decision to push forward and over a three-year period finish the course because they enjoyed the holes that we had got done. So it was an overwhelming vote by the membership. You know, about 90% wanted it, and it passed.
Yeah, I was going to ask, do they notice the difference in the holes that have already been restored, and what has their response been?
Absolutely, they noticed. Rockville Links is designed so the ball would roll right into bunker. So we have fairway going right to bunker now. Uninterrupted, there's no rough or intermediate in between. And same around the greens, a lot of roll off into bunkers. And a lot of times when courses were modernized, you know, there were some mounds and everything built around greens to kind of frame them better. So it kind of lost that little roll off, you know, it kind of turned them into a bowl. And we're getting it back to, you know, kind of the runoffs, almost like flipping the bowl upside down. And it, you know, it runs off and everything runs into the bunkers and a lot more maintained height into that so the ball doesn't stop.
What have you learned? You've been working, you know, you have a master plan. What have you learned during this process in terms of whether it be something you learned about, you know, doing, you know, your job as a superintendent? Did you learn, what have you learned about golf course architecture that you didn't know before? What are the things that have surprised you the most? And when you think back at the process, look back at you immediately.
I think the most, and, you know, we're working with modern-day architect Jim Urbina. He's overseeing the restoration. And when you walk the course with guys like Jim, and you hear how they look at it and how everything was seen and them trying to interpret Devereaux Emmett, it's more, you know, you can look at individual holes and you can stress over what makes those holes better and what you could do to kind of modernize it but keep it in that integrity. But the big thing is kind of taking the course as a whole. A lot of the classic design gave you certain things on certain holes and they weren't set up to be similar. You know, it wasn't every drive wasn't set up to be difficult and framed on both sides by bunkers or trees.
Right.
It's kind of looking at the original design as a whole and making sure that you still have all those different shots.
Sort of like a strategical balance you're trying to restore. Is that really what he's trying to do?
Absolutely, especially off the tee and entry shots into the green. So that's the biggest thing I've taken from this as far as, you know, thinking about the restoration. You know, it's really going back to that classic golf and the strategy and the angles that they had to play.
I don't know, maybe it's not fair because you still have another five holes to go, but which hole to this point has, or you think will be, if it may be one of the ones that you haven't gotten to yet, will have the most dramatic transformation?
I think one that we're working on right now, our par 3 17th, I think it's going to be so unique, just something you haven't seen, and just the visual off the tee. I think it's just something you're going to walk up and you don't see anywhere else. That's one I think will have the most impact. And I think so far the ones that we've already restored, our second hole, a par 4, I don't think anybody expected it to turn out to what it is and how hard it was. It used to be pretty plain Jane par 4 and, you know, make your par and move on pretty easy. And now depending on hole location and the huge runoffs around this green, it's really turned into a tough par 4 and a tough start to the round.
The par 3 17th, that wasn't a short hole, right? Was it? I played it years ago with you, but I can't remember the length of that hole.
It's 185 yards from the marker, but it can play a little longer, especially at the pin back. But the green being expanded deeper, getting back on its original platform, it's going to end up being a 200-yard par 3, and the wind's always going across or into your face. So it plays much longer than that 185.
Luke, is this just for the membership, or are there long-range plans that this golf course may possibly host some, you know, county events or Long Island or New York type style events?
I'm sure we'll we'll host something else from the, you know, the LIGA or the Met. We have in the past, you know, we hosted the juniors a few years ago. And, you know, hopefully we're back on that circuit. And it should be interesting, especially for some of the match play events. But we have, we're not on the calendar for any of those events now. I'm sure we'll make a little bit more of a push for that once we're completely done.
Luke, I want to move from Devereaux Emmett to the Birds and the Bees, but I want to take one more break.
Yeah, we need to have that talk because
unfortunately,
I never did when I was a kid.
That's
so
right.
I'm very, very anxious. I'm taking notes.
You've missed a lot.
Yes.
All right. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
Pete's Golf. Since 1979, Pete's Golf has been practicing the art of club fitting and has been selected as a top 100 club fitter by Golf Digest magazine. At Pete's Golf, we use the best technology available to create an exceptional fitting experience for every customer that walks into our store. Visit petesgolf.com or call 516-248-6891. That's 516-248-6891 and get your next set of clubs fit for you.
At Winfield United, we understand the challenges you face and the goals you have. We promise to do our best and to help you do yours. With the introduction of tools like the Geotech Insight platform and products like Droplex Extra, we are advancing the industry to new levels, allowing you to manage your time and budget more efficiently. Visit WinfieldUnitedPro.com to find a representative near you today. Winfield United, a proud sponsor of the Long Island Golf Course Superintendents Association.
All right, welcome back to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. I'm Anthony, he's Steve, and on the line is Luke Knutson, the Rockville Lynx Golf Club Superintendent. Luke, talk to us a little bit about, you filmed, we were fortunate to have Frank Rossi on the program. You've been filming, or you have filmed, some BMPs here, best management practices for golf course superintendents. Talk a little bit about the work, the filming that you did, and how it's relevant to Rockville Lynx.
I was lucky enough to be reached out to by the New York State BMP for pollinators. They were trying to write into some of their best management practices what you can do different for pollinators. At Rockville Lynx, we were already really starting to plant a lot of native trees. We actually started establishing some wildflower areas, and that kind of led us into a year later keeping a few actual honeybee hives on the course, which now has evolved to 4 hives overall on the course. And just kind of through that and putting the work, what we were doing out there on Twitter and other social media, I was lucky enough that they contacted me, and with Dr. Rossi, they came through and we filmed a case study and a 3-4-part video series, you know, just some quick little videos for their YouTube channel. And, it's really kind of helped us get, accepted what we've done even more so around the course and in the area and get a few more people on there. It kind of helped showcase what we've done for work.
So, Luke, you mentioned native plantings and the wildflower areas. How were you able to select the type of native plantings that you ultimately decided to put in?
There's a lot of local distributors and resources to find what was there, and to actually buy a few blends for stuff that's native to Long Island or the Northeast. We started out with some basic generic blends, and then after that we kind of found the weaknesses where we needed some more flowers, and we tried to plant stuff that flowered at different times throughout the year. You know, we still need to get a little bit more that's in there in the fall to supply some food to all these the native honeybee populations.
For those of us who are unfamiliar with the process, and I remind folks that are listening not to try this at home, but how does one start to begin to even think about, and how do they start beehives and sort of establishing them on the golf course?
We actually reached out to there's a Long Island Beekeeper Association. I forget the actual name of it. And as part of that, there's actually one of the gentlemen, Walter Blom, that runs that and helps and is from the area, actually comes and he puts the hives out there and takes care of everything. So I have not become a beekeeper myself and probably never will. But Walter comes out, takes care of the hives, and as you know, we end up getting half of the honey for letting him put them on our property.
Now, of course, you mentioned bees on a golf course, and of course, I would think naturally the membership might be a little sort of hesitant, even though honeybees are fairly docile, especially, you know, they basically just go about their business, they pollinate, but I imagine the membership was a little, let's say a little hesitant about sharing their property with bees?
Yeah, they were, and it started out two hives in two different locations and kind of out-of-the-way areas, and we've since just added another hive at each of those areas, but as soon as you see that you don't have that traffic and you're not finding all the honeybees and a little bit of the education of the difference between a yellow jacket and a honeybee, because most people, when they think bees, they think of a yellow jacket. You know, bees aren't going after your food or your soda or anything that's sitting at your cookout or your barbecue. Mm-hmm. They're doing their own thing and they're on flowers, and you know, you really don't have a problem. And I was a little skeptical, and so were my workers. But you can work right in the area as long as you're not shaking the hive or anything. We've never had a problem, and I've never had a guy complain about being stung or a member being stung.
Talk about the benefits of it to the golf course, to the environment in general.
And the neighborhood.
Yeah, I think the wildflowers have had a huge impact, because I think it's helped out the actual area and the native pollinator populations. We've seen a huge increase at Rockville Links, and I think the golf course, and for Rockville Center, you know, our golf course is the huge green space in the town. So I think it's a huge responsibility of ours to establish those areas and help benefit those native populations. The honeybees, on top of that, I think it's been good because it's easier to do pollen catch studies and everything that we've worked with. You know, our beekeeper's done all that for us. They catch the pollen, they test it to see for pesticides, you know, insecticides and other chemicals. And we have found nothing major that we've done that, you know, has gone into the hive from them as a golf course. So it helps us kind of dial in what we do on the golf course, and also kind of not be the scapegoat for some of these issues that are going on with honeybee, you know, colony collapses and everything, you know. Being part of the solution and, you know, part of the study is better than just sitting back thinking that you're not part of it.
Right.
Our guest is Luke Knutson, the superintendent for Rockville Links Golf Club. Also noticed that you did a fair amount of tree removal and replanting. How was that process, and how has that helped the golf course?
I think it's helped a lot, you know, especially, you know, you can talk about plant health, green health, and everything else that goes along with removing some of the trees and shade issues. But there's areas that just were overgrown, and I came in right after Sandy, so there is a lot of damaged trees and insurance tag trees, and we've kind of just continued that removal program, and we've been planting back, but we've been planting mainly on perimeters. Part of our tree removal has been removing bad or damaged or diseased trees, and also some others mixed in there, and we've been establishing a lot more fescue and what people would normally call native areas, but high rough fescue areas. We've been establishing as much of that as we can too. So it's all been kind of part of a plan and opening up some views on the golf course, but also not giving those views off the property, trying to kind of box in the property.
I have to think that there's a great, you must feel a great sense of satisfaction when you're a golf course superintendent. You're working with Mother Nature every day. And not only are you preserving this, beautiful golf course and restoring it to its sort of historical roots, but now you're sort of working with the bees, so to speak. You're growing wild native wildflowers. I would think as a superintendent who has an affinity for this stuff and loves what you do, there must be a great sense of satisfaction that in what you're contributing to the environment.
Yeah, there's a huge sense of satisfaction with it, but it also helps break up instead of just staring at fairways and greens all over and maintaining grass, you know, rough cut all throughout the whole property. It gives you something else. It's not kind of that sterile environment. It gives you, you know, some other layers in there, too, to stare at and also to think about.
Do you think that you'll do a, or at some point, maybe bring local high school students maybe to as part of like some sort of educational series? Is that a possibility to sort of integrate Rockville Links into the community further?
Yes, and we've had some Boy Scout groups out in the past before. Our pro shops worked with them also because they need to earn a golf badge. So as part of that, they also take a tour of the grounds and talk about everything that we're going on. That's happened a few different times, and we're always looking for people to reach out, and we probably need to do a better job reaching out to local middle and high schools and setting up some of those tours. Probably do a little bit more of that once some all this construction and everything dies down after a few years.
Sure.
Luke, we mentioned Mother Nature before, and obviously those native areas are sensitive to rainfall and the amount of rainfall, and obviously year to year you can never predict. You know, last year, 2016, was a pretty dry summer, so I'm wondering how you try to at least stem the tide of dry conditions.
As far as you're talking about the native wildflower areas? Yeah, I mean, most of the time the natives are pretty conditioned for it. Last year we did have stuff kind of burn up a little bit more towards the mid to end of August. We have kind of put up a roller-based sprinkler in the past to help out some of those areas, but overall we pretty much just let them go. And, you know, kind of what we get for the year is what we get. We don't have irrigation in those areas, and that's kind of why they've been selected for that, you know, native wildflower and native trees.
Luke, I only have about a minute left, but I just wanted to talk quickly about this insane fall that we've had. Every day I golf or get a chance to go hit balls, I feel like I'm stealing the day. What's this been like for in terms of winter prep? Does this make your life easier, more difficult? What kind of fall has it been for you?
We've had to water a little more than most falls. It's been pretty dry, but it's been beautiful. It's been great for getting work done. And for the most part, we give October to the membership. We're not doing any of the real winter prep like aeration or anything right now. Mm-hmm. October's one of the best months to play golf on the island, so we try to give that to our membership. And we've had a little bit of construction going on. I know a lot of other courses in the area have been aerated in the last week or so, kind of doing their winter prep. But the leaves haven't even really started to turn or fall yet at Rockville Links. I know a few places North Shore have, but haven't had too much to do yet.
Well, Luke, thank you so much for joining us this morning. And as a member of the Long Island Golf Course Superintendents Association, thank you for your support of this program. We really appreciate it. Always enlightening and insightful stuff from you, and we really appreciate you coming on.
Oh, thank you very much. Thanks for having me, and thanks for your support of every aspect of the industry.
Thank you very much. All right, take care, Luke. All right, you're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. We'll be back to wrap things up. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
Play like a pro with a custom set of PXG clubs in your bag, designed to deliver unrivaled performance and fitted to optimize your game. PXG clubs will help you unlock your true potential. We guarantee you've never played like this before. Get fitted for PXG clubs at Pete's Golf Shop today.
Welcome back to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Steve, thank you very much for a wonderful year. I know you won't be here next week, as Woody Lashin will be taking. He has big shoes to fill, but
the legendary Woody Lashin.
We're out of time here, but I want to thank you for a year of another season of not only your friendship but your professionalism.
Thank you.
Always a pleasure to have you on.
It's a pleasure. Thank you so much for the invitation. I look forward to every week of doing this. We've had some great guests this year. We've had a lot of great conversations about all aspects about the great game of golf, and looking forward to doing it again next year.
Absolutely. All right, folks. Enjoy your weekend. Get out and play golf. See your local golf professional. It's the only way you're going to get better. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.